This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by the Education and Outreach Team for the Messenger Mission to Planet Mercury. Follow the mission as the spacecraft helps to unlock the secrets of the inner solar system at www.messenger-education.org.
You are about to listen to the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
What do they talk about?
Astronomy, you know, stuff that's far away.
How far?
How far? Well,
this stuff is far.
It's really far.
This stuff is far, far, far away. We're talking far.
Like uber far.
You can't get there by car today. It's super duper crazy. Far, but not just pulsars, quasars, and stars. We mean it's far.
Far, far,
far, far. If there's some doubt, listen to a shout.
This stuff is far.
The IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast starts now.
Welcome to the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, host of the AAAS radio show and podcast Science Update. For today's show, I spoke with NASA mechanical engineer Dan Polis, who's part of a team at the Goddard Space Flight Center that is just completing a three-year project to design a next-generation crew capsule designed of carbon composite materials. These are super-strong, lightweight materials made of carbon fibers and a plastic resin matrix. They're used in tennis rackets, golf clubs, bikes, and high-performance race cars. Polis says the properties that make these composites so useful in sporting goods also make them useful for aerospace.
When you swing a tennis racket, you want it to be stiff to return all the energy to the ball, and you want it to be lightweight so you don't get fatigue.
In the case of aerospace applications, lightweight means less fuel. He also says that composites can be customized for different uses.
One of the real unique things about composites is you can tailor the properties similar to wood. When they make plywood, they take the fibers and they put them in all the directions to get uniform properties. We can take advantage by putting fibers in one direction. If we're doing a metering structure that we want to be really stiff, like a tube, it's stiff in one direction and not others, and that makes it extremely efficient as compared to metals where they're essentially isotropic. They're uniform in all directions, and there's not much tailoring you can do there.
Along with being strong, lightweight, and easy to customize, carbon composites are stable at a wide range of temperatures, unlike metals that expand and contract. That's especially important for instruments that must be finely calibrated, like those aboard the James Webb Space Telescope.
And it operates at 35 Kelvin, and the whole metering structure that holds all the instruments and optics is made of composites that we've custom designed to basically have no expansion all the way down to 35 Kelvin. And so that'll hold all the instruments relative to one another stable.
Even more extreme are the conditions faced by the Messenger spacecraft, which is headed toward orbit around the planet Mercury next March. Messenger is the first spacecraft made entirely of composites because it has to withstand temperatures of 800 degrees Fahrenheit. It not only has to keep its instruments from frying, but keep them stable enough to make precise measurements of the planet's surface, atmosphere, and magnetosphere. For Messenger, the thermal stability of composite materials was absolutely essential. Polis says that now that composites have proven themselves on uncrewed spacecraft, crew capsules are the next frontier.
And so now one of NASA's big thrusts is to use composites in those applications. And, you know, there's certain unique challenges, one of which for a capsule is leakage. So you have astronauts in there. Composites are more permeable than metals. If you hit them structurally, they could still be fine, but they could have small what we call microcracks that will allow gas to leak in. And since you're only bringing a certain amount of gas for survival up there, that costs weight, or there needs to be other solutions. So to solve that is potential membranes to use to get around that problem.
Polis said that another design challenge is that the composite capsule has to sit atop a metal rocket.
We were given certain constraints on our design, and one of those was we're going to interface with a rocket at 6 points. So that was a metallic design, that the rocket would push up at 6 points and about 100,000 pounds at each of those 6 points. It's a significant, what I call, point load. If you were designing an all-composite solution from the capsule all the way down to the rocket, you would pick it up in a ring. So you would distribute that load instead of at 6 points around the whole capsule. So that's where, you know, a composite design sometimes inserted into a metallic system takes a penalty. So we had a design solution for that, but it's not optimal. So that's one of the places where you typically have to cross over from a metallic world to a composite world, and there's some difficult design solutions there.
Pola says private industry is also doing a lot of innovating in composites, especially Boeing, which is introducing the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, the first passenger plane made mostly of composite materials.
They offer extreme advantages in that industry because they don't have the issue of fatigue. So metals, if you bend them back and forth, you know, if you bend a paperclip back and forth at low stresses, it can break. That's a fatigue phenomenon, or just very low stresses for many cycles can cause cracks to propagate. And so in the aircraft industry, that's important. And Boeing has gone to an all-composite aircraft.
As to the future, he says composite's next big splash could be in commercial space applications. In fact, they've already made a splash. In 2004, the Spaceship One aircraft was made of carbon composite material, and it won the $10 million Ansari X Prize by being the first aircraft to make a suborbital spaceflight twice in 2 weeks. Last year, the Space Composites Company and Virgin Galactic introduced Spaceship Two, the next-generation suborbital aircraft, about twice the size of Spaceship One. The new aircraft is scheduled to take paying customers into suborbital space in 2011. Polis points out that these aircraft don't have nearly as many technical hurdles to jump as capsules that have to travel to the moon or Mars, but the manufacturing techniques used to build the craft could help inform NASA efforts in the future. For the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast, I'm Bob Hirshon.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Cool.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.